From 90.7 WFAE, this is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. For years, bicyclists in Charlotte lobbied for bike lanes on key city streets and for the replacement of grates and other obstacles to safe biking. Well, they were successful. Bike lanes or bike lines were painted on many roads, and more are planned. Other road improvements have been made to make biking safer. So everything's fine, right? Not so fast. There's still a relationship between bicyclists and motorists that seems to be evolving, and as it does, there have been moments of friction. Some motorists complain about bike riders, and bicyclists complain about motorists, and in many cases, those complaints are legitimate. But one thing's certain, there are more adults riding bicycles on this city's streets than ever before. They ride for recreation, and they use their bikes for transportation. As the price of gasoline rises, more are likely to join their ranks. So this hour, a look at some of the road realities for bikers in Charlotte and at some of the initiatives aimed at improving conditions for them. We're joined by Martin Zimmerman, the executive director of CABA, the Charlotte Area Bicycle Alliance. It could also be CABA, I suppose, or CABA. Who knows? A retired architect and city planner, he's published over 40 articles and reviews on urban placemaking, sustainable cities, smart growth, and the spread of urban sprawl. And with CABA, he has worked with Lynx Light Rail and on the current citywide bicycle master plan and more. And he has not owned a motor vehicle since 2005. Good Lord, man, what's wrong with you?
Hopefully nothing.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Yeah, by the way, congratulations on 10 years of service to the community.
Charlesburg. Right.
Here in Charlesburg.
Thank you. For those of you listening at night, this makes no sense at all to you. Dan Gallagher is the Transportation Planning Section Manager for the Charlotte Department of Transportation. He and his staff are responsible for Charlotte's recently adopted Transportation Action Plan, the $75 million annual capital investment program for transportation, including the $6 million annual pedestrian program and the $1 million annual bicycle program. Dan, welcome back to the program.
It's great to be here, Mike.
Only $1 million for bicycles? Oh, can of worms. And we hope to be joined later by City Councilman Anthony Fox. As I understand it, the City of Charlotte now sees bicycles as an equal partner in the development of a, quote, multimodal transportation vision for the area. When did bicycles get parity with cars?
That's a great question, and it's hard to pinpoint an exact date. But I would say about 10 years ago is when the City of Charlotte started making a conscious effort to better include bicycling and bicyclists in our road designs. And over the past 10 years, we've made a lot of great strides in that. As we've focused on widening roadways, we've also focused on including bicyclists in those roadway designs.
Is that because of work by people like Martin Zimmerman, who has been a... This is not meant to be pejorative, a bicycle zealot for years and years and years now?
Well, yeah, respond to that. Actually, a lot of people started out on this before
okay.
I really got active. And that started specifically in the fall of 1998 when a group of people who realized the city had no policy, really didn't have bicycling on the agenda at that time, needed to have it. And out of that group grew our group and the thrust to have the master plan that occurred at that time and to make sure that a full-time bicycle coordinator was put in the spot on the CDOT, Local Transportation Agency, which Dan represents.
Okay. And we are joined now by Anthony Fox, an at-large representative on City Council. He's now in his second term. He chairs the Council's Transportation Committee and is Council Representative to the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Development Corporation and the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Welcome back to you as well.
Good morning, Mike.
Good to see you. Charlotte has the goal of becoming the premier bicycling city in the United States. You're on City Council, so I'll ask you why.
Well, I think we're finding out a little bit why. With gas prices going up and the transportation time it gets from the time people leave their homes to the time they get to work and back, the city is growing rapidly. Mm-hmm. And in 25 years, we're expected to add the same number of people that make up the entire city of Pittsburgh today. And that's going to create a lot of congestion, no matter what we do. no matter whether we add roads or not. And so what we're trying to do is to create a system that allows people to move around the city in many different ways, walking more, riding bicycles more, using transit more, and bikes are a part of that.
Are all cities of this size involved in this kind of planning, or are we unique in some way because of this?
I really think Charlotte is taking a leadership role in planning in that way. A lot of it goes back to the corridors and centers and corridors and wedges strategies that we've had in the last 10 years that are now being implemented through our land use policies. And mm-hmm. we're designating certain parts of the city as business corridors that are places where we want commercial development, and we're trying to isolate those from areas of the city that are more neighborhood intensive. And mm-hmm. so the more we are able to stick by that plan, the more intuitive it will be to move around the city. You'll know where you're in the business district. You'll know when you're in the neighborhoods, mm-hmm. but you'll be able to move freely from one place to the other.
I would also add that from the standpoint of national, not just local advocacy, the CABA group belongs to the Thunderhead Alliance, which represents virtually every state in the union, and city-wise, many second-tier cities like Charlotte.
So you chose the only pronunciation of that word, that abbreviation that I did not use, CABA.
Okay. We've debated that in our meetings, actually. It's like tomato versus tomato. Yeah.
To be the premier bicycling city in the United States, how do you make that happen in such a suburban city? Because there's such, I mean, if you want to drive or take your bike from Ballantyne to Uptown, that's a hike.
Right. Absolutely. And that's a great question, and we have a lot of catching up to do. Like many cities, especially cities that had rapid growth since World War II, mm-hmm. Many cities grew in a pattern that was very automobile-oriented, and Charlotte is one of those cities. For about 50 years, we forgot how to accommodate many different users of the transportation system. We're back in that business now, and like Councilmember Fox mentioned, we need to be in that business because we have such high growth coming here and so many people moving here that we need a balanced transportation system. So not only are we focused on becoming the premier city in the nation for bicycling, we're focusing on becoming the premier city in the country for integrating land use and transportation choices. And bicycling, providing for bicyclists is just one component of that. We are moving forward with a plan. We are in the process, nearing the end of the process, of the bicycle plan for Charlotte. It's looking at ramping up what we do for bicyclists. We have a good track record over the last 10 years, but there's certain things that we need to do better. And some of the challenges are going to be those parts of town that really were developed in a framework that really was to make sure that every trip occurred by automobile. Mm-hmm. Those are those disconnected parts of the city. I can think of areas up near the University City area, southwest and southeast Charlotte, that are very challenging. And so what we need to make sure is whenever we have projects in that area that we include bicycle facilities. So if we have lots of road widenings that are planned in those areas, we need to make sure that those include the bike lanes. We need to interconnect that with the greenway system that's rapidly emerging. And we also need to make sure as new development comes online, we don't make the same mistakes. We need to make sure that they come on in a more connected fashion, that provide more transportation choices. The second thing that we also need to realize is that as we provide more transportation choices, we're relying on our transit system more. And one of the things that by accommodating bicyclists does is it allows our transit system to work better. We can bring people from a further distance away by bicycle to a transit stop than we can by counting on them to walk up to a transit stop.
From what Dan Gallagher and Anthony Fox have said, they're on board. The city's on board here. But at first, when you first started, you and other advocates, Martin, first started to say, hey, we need more attention paid to the needs of bicyclists. Was it a difficult political sell, and has it been a slog for a while, or was it pretty quickly adopted?
It was not a slog, I'm very delighted to say. City Council was extraordinarily responsive. It did not take long to get the bicycle coordinator on board. Mm-hmm. It did not take long to get the bike plan on board. There are other sectors of the community that we've been working hard to bring under the net, so to speak, and that's taking time. That's taking time, and it will take more time.
The League of American Bicyclists have put Charlotte at the bronze level. I'm assuming that this is like the Olympics. At the bronze level of bicycle-friendly cities. Who are they, and what does it being bronze mean? Because we don't like to be third place. You know? What does that mean?
Well, the League of American Bicyclists is the oldest national organization, well over 100 years old. It originally was called the League of American Wheelmen. They're actually instrumental in getting road building going when there really weren't hard-paved roads in the late 1800s. And I won't get into that, but that's a thrilling story to read about. They have three levels of designation, and we are at the first tier right now. I will say that my understanding of this is that it's more of a relative designation than an absolute, meaning that their criteria is based more on how communities are improving than on what they've really achieved. And my illustration of that is that although we are, as a premier city, want to get over 450 miles of bicycle accommodations, this is bicycle lanes and everything, right now we're at between 10 and 15%. So in the total spectrum, we're not that high, and that's true of virtually every other city that's got a bronze rating. It's only when you get to a Portland, Oregon, or a Davis, California.
That city again.
It's always on your show. That the percentages have really jumped up. So on one hand, we're doing better, relatively speaking, than a lot of other cities, but on the other hand, there's quite a ways to go.
We're going to take this show for a week to Portland, Oregon. We're going to do this program from Portland, Oregon for a week just to see what all the buzz is about. Because every time we talk about anything to do with transportation, Portland comes up. Anthony Fox, you're an at-large city council member. What do you hear from your constituents, A, about the need for more accommodations for bicyclists, and B, about those darn bicyclists on the road getting in my way?
Well, there's a lot of that on both counts, Mike. What I hear is, number one, accolades from citizens about the way that we accommodate bicyclists on our buses, for example, and the way that we are starting to see more places for people to park their bikes across the city, including in the downtown area. There is still a need, obviously, for more bike lanes, and the more we widen roads and the more we resurface roads, the more bike lanes come online, and that's good. I do hear people saying that they wish there was more connection between bike lanes across the city. You sort of go down one path, and then it stops.
And it ends. And then
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you hear complaints like that.
And when it ends, I only have 15 seconds, but when those lanes end and suddenly you're in a row with no bike lane, what do you do?
Well, one thing you do is go on a sidewalk, because Charlotte's one of the few cities where sidewalk bicycle riding is legal.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we'll be talking about sidewalks in just a couple of seconds. Martin Zimmerman's with us. He's the executive director of the Charlotte Bicycle Alliance. Dan Gallagher with the Charlotte Department of Transportation, and Anthony Fox, at-large city council member, Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Our program is made possible in part today by the Wine Vault, hosting an Australian wine dinner at Sullivan Steakhouse, featuring a four-course wine pairing dinner, along with a pre-dinner tasting of five Australian wines. Sunday, June 8th, reservation 704-548-9463. And by the 2008 Carolina's Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Awards program, announcing award recipients June 12th at the Westin Charlotte. The Black Tie Gala tickets are available at carolinaseoy.ey.com. On Monday on this program, we take a look at more economic development, but this time in areas of the city that have been left behind, at least in many people's opinions, the west side being one area, the east side being another. As the city has grown mostly to the south and east, they've been languishing. So then now there's a plan to correct that. We'll talk
the
about
Friday News Roundup. Barack Obama claims the Democratic presidential nomination. Hillary Clinton prepares to suspend her campaign. Presumptive Republican nominee John McCain separates himself from President Bush in a speech in New Orleans. And the man accused of masterminding the 9/11 attacks faces arraignment. The Diane Rehm Show. Friday
at 10 on WFAE.
In this historic election year, voters are contemplating their decisions carefully.
I think that a lot of people are doing a lot of soul searching, because I know people. I have friends who haven't made up their minds yet. So people are doing a lot of soul searching and really trying to figure out which candidate is going to be the best for our country.
You can rely on 90.7 WFAE for insightful election coverage to help you make an informed decision.
We're back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Anthony Fox has volunteered to come back because he was 2 minutes late. He's coming back on Monday to be part of the program on Monday now. Dan Gallagher is with us from the Charlotte Department of Transportation, and Martin Zimmerman, Executive Director of the Charlotte Area Bike Alliance. I know that in 2000, there were zero, as I understand this, 0 miles of roads marked for bicycles and no bicycle paths to speak of. Where are we today, and what are we aiming for?
Okay. I can probably answer that question. We've made a lot of progress, and like Councilmember Fox said, whenever we have a chance through a road widening or through a road resurfacing, we add bike lanes. So we now have over 50 miles of bike lanes in the city. We have over 20 miles of greenway trails in Charlotte-Mecklenburg County. But we have a lot of work to do, and someone mentioned before about the fact that not all of our system links up. What happens when you get to the end of one of those systems? Well, unfortunately, it's going to take time, because much of our improvements are opportunity-based. Like I said, when we have a road that we're widening or we have a resurfacing, we can get bike lanes at that time. But we are headed in the right direction, and that's why we received that bronze rating from the League of American Bicyclists. We're looking by 2030 to have over 400 miles of bikeways on the ground in Charlotte, and that's going to be substantial. At that point in time, we believe you'll be able to travel from just about any part of the city to any other part of the city via our system of bikeways.
You don't and have not owned a car in 3 years, Martin.
Yes, that is correct.
How does it work for you? Tell me, how do you make life work for you in this car-oriented city?
Several ways. First of all, the choice of location for residents. My wife and I live across the street from UNC Charlotte. We're 2 blocks from a bus stop.
So wait a minute. We're sitting here in our Spirit Square studio. We chose not to do the program up in the university
area
because we wanted to get your workout in today. You rode your bike here today?
I took my bike 2 blocks to the Cats bus stop, paid $1.30.
What time did you leave the house this morning?
7:39.
7:39, and what time did you arrive here?
8:35.
Oh.
And I did my business work while I was sitting on the bus, just like people do on Lynx.
Okay. So, all right. So do you have to catch a bus that has that little bike catcher in the front?
They all do.
They all have.
Every single bus has that.
What happens when they're full?
If they're full, there can be a problem. I will be the first to admit that. That means the next bus. But the buses are running a lot more frequently now, and they're on every bus, so it hasn't been a problem.
So let's be clear about this. You don't own an automobile. Does your wife own an automobile?
I have to confess she
does. The truth comes out.
But she's very reluctant to let me borrow it.
Okay. Does she look at you oddly because you're a biker and not an automobile driver now?
She frequently looks at me oddly under many circumstances.
Why did you make this decision to do this?
It goes back a long way, much, much longer than 3 or 4 years, because I went into city planning in undergraduate school. And at that time, well before this movement started, I already had made up my mind that multimodal transportation was the wave of the future. And I needed to really be a person who, if I believed it, I had to live it.
You know, Americans used to look at pictures of the Chinese riding their bicycles on these wide streets in Beijing, and there'd be no cars. It would just, 8 lanes of 100 million bicycles going back and forth, and we would kind of chuckle and think, oh, those people. And what you're advocating, essentially, is that we adopt at least some of that for ourselves.
Definitely. Definitely. The irony there, of course, is the Chinese are now going to cars.
Yeah. So maybe there's a balance where we're all kind of doing a mixture of everything. That would be a good thing to
mind.
Correct.
And if you go to a little closer to home, let's say to Amsterdam in the Netherlands, well, their standard of living and affluence is really comparable to ours, which means probably the vast majority of the households own cars. But instead of owning 2 cars, they own 1. And plus instead of going to the grocery store in their car, they take their bike.
Well, because gasoline's $10 a gallon over there.
That too.
Or close to it. What are some of the other things that that Dan Gallagher, and I don't care who answers this, but what are some of the other things that Charlotte has already done or is in the process of doing that make the city more bicycle friendly?
If you want, I can jump in and then anyone else can,
sure.
can add to it. We've made a lot of progress. Again, this is a comprehensive approach to dealing with our growth, dealing with the amount of population that's moving here, and providing people transportation choices. So it's no single thing that we're doing. It's a comprehensive toolbox.
Well, I know that the very first time that you were on the program, I think it was you, Martin, you mentioned these something I never thought about, the grates, the drains that drain the water off the curbs. Sometimes the grates were going in the wrong direction, so that if a bicycle was going down and had to veer off into the gutter for some reason, because a car shoved them into the gutter, their bicycle wheels could get caught in the grates. And we have gone through, and have we changed all those grates now so that they're perpendicular to bicycle wheels as opposed to parallel with them?
Well, we haven't. I don't think we've changed them all, but if I were to go to the other end of your question rather than the very specific end, land use, not just transportation, is the other major component. So if you have a city plan commission, which now has promoted the TOD districts, for example, around the link stations, that focuses in the big scheme of things on the proximity issue. The drains, of course, is a detail that's absolutely essential to overcome so bicyclists can ride safely. But in the bigger picture, the link between land use and transportation is absolutely critical.
Do we know how many people use bicycles, either recreationally, but mostly for let's start with transportation, because that seems to be, a lot of people ride bikes, I guess, for recreation. But do we have a figure in Charlotte of the number of people who ride bikes to work or do it recreationally?
Okay. Yeah, I do have some figures that I can certainly share. We do an annual survey, a statistically valid survey each year, and we know that in Charlotte, over 40% of people in Charlotte actually own a bicycle. And then so as we delve into that a little bit more and ask them what are some of their use about, how do they use their bicycles, we know that over 40% of them actually ride that bicycle at least once a week for recreation. Okay? And then we also know that about 45% of all the people we surveyed said if we had a better system of greenways and bike lanes and bikeways, a complete system, that they would be more likely to use their bicycle for those other types of trips, that short shopping trip, that trip to the library, the trip to the Blockbuster, et cetera, et cetera. I think sometimes people mistake the commute trip that we're trying to get everyone to get to work by bicycle. That's probably one of the most challenging trips for people to make. It's often their longest trip of the day.
Sure.
And only about 15% of all trips made from a house in a given day are that work trip. So while we may capture some of those people, we have a better chance of capturing the other 85% of the trips. And of those other trips, over 40% of those are 2 miles or less. So again, that's that trip to the Blockbuster, the trip to the grocery store, the trip to the coffee shop, and whatnot.
Now, if bicyclists want their way and we start accommodating bicyclists, which we've been doing because of putting in these bike lanes, where will it end? I mean, we have to put Segway lanes in? Pardon me?
Will we be overrun by bicyclists?
Well, no, but I mean, will we have to put Segway lanes in if people want to ride their Segways to work? I mean, seriously.
Well, I'm going to frame that question in terms of what we're doing with streets. We have for forever, Charlotte has not really had a consistent way that we identify streets, like a neighborhood street versus a big boulevard or something like that. And one of the things we've done is we've defined these roads differently. So on a big road like an Independence Boulevard, which is probably not the best example, but in those types of roads, what's being planned are protected bike paths that will be on the other side of the sidewalk. So it won't be in the thoroughfare where the cars are moving. In the neighborhood streets, and in smaller roads, you may see a bike lane in the traditional sense that we've had them in the city before. And on some neighborhood streets, what you're seeing is our planning staff suggesting that the streets be narrower. Now, why would the street be narrower? It'd be narrower because that will cut down on car speeds. If you're going down a narrow street, you tend to drive slower than if you're going down a big, wide road. So, and that also helps with integrating other types of movement on that street. So, so we're looking at ways to integrate bicycle movement along with perhaps the Segway movement too.
Yeah, and I may add quickly
sure.
that I was talking to David Cable, the executive director of the Catawba Lands Conservancy, last week, and he returned from a tour in Europe to three of the major cities that have strong integrated systems. And he referred to the mix of transportation on the streets as a ballet. And that gets into traffic calming, gets into narrowing streets, and gets into the examples that Anthony's referring to, that at a certain point, the total system achieves a level of equilibrium that allows all the traffic to mix. It doesn't necessarily depend on traffic lanes and perpendicular gutters and specific infrastructure to keep the traffic separate. At a certain point, when you achieve equilibrium, whether there's a lane or not, is that not that critical anymore?
Barry in Charlotte writes, I'm 54. I've biked for 20 years. I'm married with 10-year-old twins. Thank you for driving carefully, he ends. As bicycles have become more prominent on roads, have motorists altered their driving habits to be more accommodating? I'm going to begin with the bike rider here. Martin, what's your experience been?
That's a big problem. I don't think they have. And it's a two-edged sword because on one hand, you have to get – we don't have as many cyclists on the road as we should to create the critical mass that would lead drivers to – that would automatically mean that the drivers see the bicyclists. They see it in their frame of vision, and they automatically – or I should say, it's much easier for them to realize that the bicyclists are actually there. So on one hand, we need to get lots and lots more bicyclists on the road, but on the other hand, we also need to make sure, we need to get to the point where the drivers see it as a critical mass.
Have you been frightened as a bike rider riding through traffic?
Those of us who are seasoned bicycle riders, I make the comparison with what drivers should be. In other words, we the seasoned bicycle riders are not frightened because we know how to ride on the road. And the reason I chuckle when I say the drivers of cars often don't have the training and the scrutiny that we really have to have because we're driving a vehicle that weighs 18 to 26 pounds.
Yeah.
And they've got 2 tons of coverage to cover for them if they get into an accident.
I'm going to come back to rules of the road and safety and things like that for both cars, the mixture of both cars and bicycles in a second. But the city has a bicycle master plan that we've kind of alluded to a couple of times this morning. I know that one was being debated back in March. What is the status of that plan now? Has it been voted on by anybody like the city council, or is it still up in the air?
It's actually it's in draft form, and we have completed our work with our stakeholder group. We had a kind of a wide array of folks that participated in the stakeholder group. We had 2 public workshops, unbelievably well attended, some of the best attended workshops we've had on any planning issue that we've brought before them. At the first meeting, we had close to 150 people show up, and I think when Mayor McCrory stepped into the room, he almost stepped back. He was amazed at the turnout, and it was a great turnout.
And he gave the keynote speech as well.
He did. It was kind of the kickoff of the whole process. We're moving that plan through the process. We are now reviewing some of the specific issues with the different departments. In fact, I have a meeting with our street maintenance division next week to talk about those grates, the grates on the roadways. Okay. And so lots of things that go into this. It's a very comprehensive plan.
The Transportation Action Plan, which we talked about last time you were here, was adopted in 2006. It also includes goals for bicycles. Why do we need two plans, one a bicycle master plan and a Transportation Action Plan?
Well, if you think about concentric circles, the Transportation Action Plan is the biggest concentric circle,
okay.
And the Bicycle Plan is one of the smaller circles within it. It is part of the effort to implement the Transportation Action Plan.
I have an email here from Kate in Charlotte. It says, please make sure someone asks about why Charlotte is not putting bike lanes on all new roads, and why they've torn up and repaved Ridge Road near where I live three times since I moved here last summer, and never added a bike three times, and never added a bike lane. There is plenty of space, and then I could safely ride my bike to the grocery store. Grr, is what she says. Now, that is true. I understand that the transportation plan requires bicycle lanes on all newly or reconstructed roadways where feasible. Are you familiar with Ridge Road?
I don't know if I can speak specifically to Ridge Road, and I can certainly look into that one when we get back to the office. But you're right, that is our policy. And on any new roads that the city of Charlotte is widening or new roads that we're building, we are adding bicycle lanes to them.
And what does reconstructed roads? Does that mean when you repave a road, you automatically put down a bicycle lane on it if it's feasible?
It depends. It depends on what type of road it is. Going back to Councilmember Fox's comment on, there are different types of roads.
You wouldn't do it on Independence Boulevard.
Right.
But on, say, Queens Road West.
Again, it would it depends.
Why are you laughing?
Which one?
I don't know. I can't keep them straight.
it depends, on which type of road. Queens Road West may not be the best example. What we do is we look at roadways and see if there's enough space to restripe the road differently when we're resurfacing it to see if we can add bicycle lanes. Sometimes we have 14-foot outside travel lanes. It's pretty easy to go back in on those types of roadways and stripe a 10-foot travel lane and a 4-foot bicycle lane. On other roadways, we don't have the luxury of a 14-foot outside travel lane. And so those are the types of roadways where we have to make a decision. Do we restripe it to include bicycle lanes, or do we put it back just like it was? In some cases, we have to put it back just like it was because we have to maintain the motorist vehicle capacity on that roadway.
And you mentioned earlier that by 2030 you envision a seamless bicycle network, mm-hmm. which would allow bicyclists to travel from any part of the city to any other part of the city. Is there a place to go that people can see how that would work, how it lays out on a map, and what you envision?
Yeah, absolutely. And that really is one of the main purposes of the Bicycle Plan. The Transportation Action Plan wasn't able to get into that level of detail. The Bicycle Plan does. There's a short, medium, and long-term maps of what the system will look like. And in that long-term map, you'll be able to see clearly how we're making many changes so you can travel from one part of the city to the other. But I will tell you, the key thing that we'll be relying on is keeping our road building program, the pace of our road building program, moving forward. Without that, many of these links won't be made. And basically, as we widen roads for motor vehicle capacity, we want to do them right for all users, including the sidewalks, including the bike lanes.
Where do they go to see that map?
The short address would be www.cdot.charmec.org.
cdot.charmec.org. And then you have to click around.
Go to the bicycle plan.
Okay. Yes. We have to take a break. We'll come right back in a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Our program is made possible in part today by today's Charlotte Woman. Space reservations now available for the 2008-2009 TCW Resource Guide, a business and community information source for Charlotte area women. Deadline June 16th, detail 704-529-6872. By Habitat for Humanity of Charlotte, Home Builders Blitz 2008. Builders are taking a stand against poverty housing, building 5 new homes for low-income families in 1 week beginning May 31st. Info at HabitatCharlotte.org. And by Time Warner Cable Business Class, offering business-grade communications tools, including dedicated access, fiber solutions, managed security, remote data storage, and now, business class phone. Call 866-TWC-4-BIZ. Coming up at 10 on the Diane Reem Show, it's Friday. It's the weekly news roundup, the national hours. First with Jim Engel from Fox News, E.J. Dion from the Washington Post, and Ann Kornblut from also from the Washington Post, talking about Barack Obama claiming the Democratic presidential nomination, Hillary Clinton preparing to suspend her campaign, John McCain separating himself from President Bush in a speech in New Orleans, and more. And in the international hour, they'll be talking about the... Well, let's see here. Israel's embattled prime minister visiting the United States and Zimbabwe's opposition leader briefly detained by the government, and more in that second hour at 11. If you'd like to join our conversation, 704-926-WFAE, 800-603-WFAE, or charlottetalks at WFAE.org.
When young people are finished listening to music, many turn to something else.
My name is Erica Crable, and I pretty much advocate listening to Morning Edition every day.
Whether you're young or experienced, it's the best source for daily news. NPR's Morning Edition. Are you listening?
Weekday mornings from 5 till 9 on 90.7 WFAE, your NPR news source.
You know, 90.7 FM WFAE keeps you company during your morning and evening commutes with the latest news and in-depth analysis. We appreciate that you rely on us as a trusted companion, and we rely on your financial support in order to keep the great stories and refreshing perspectives coming every day here on WFAE. We really are only as good as the company we keep. Thanks for spending time with us.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins, and we're talking to Martin Zimmerman, Executive Director of the Charlotte Area Bicycle Alliance, Dan Gallagher, the Transportation Planning Sector Manager for the Charlotte Department of Transportation, and Anthony Fox, an at-large city council member and the chairman of the council's Transportation Committee. Bunch of emails have come in here before we talk about safety. John in Waxhaw says, I live in Waxhaw and drive to Charlotte, South Charlotte most days. I encounter a lot of bikers on the narrow, curvy roads that I travel on. I've seen groups of 50 or more. Many of them ride side by side, even when there are only two in the group, instead of single file, taking up the whole lane. With visibility at a minimum due to the curvy roads, it makes it hard to pass these bikers. This seems very dangerous for everyone on the road, both the drivers and the riders. What are the rules governing bikers, and where can they ride on the road? Well, he's kicked us off in the direction I was going to go in anyway, so go ahead. What are the
rules? This question came up last time. I figured it would be the first question this morning. It's a legitimate question.
Yeah, and it's irritating because we as traffic picks up in Charlotte, as we become more congested, when we want to go, we want to go. And then all of a sudden, we got this bicycle who cannot keep up with the traffic flow, and when they're riding side by side, we can't pass.
Well, I will be the first to agree with this person, to support this person's implicit argument, which is by the rules of the road, cyclists should not be riding double file. And that, in a sense, is the – and I'll go back for a minute. Bicyclists basically have the same rights to driving on the road that the vehicular drivers have. But – And bicyclists have the right to occupy a lane. So
the whole lane?
They do. Mm-hmm. They do.
The whole lane.
They have the right to
Let's stop right
the
there. Is that smart?
It is smart under certain circumstances. So there's a difference between the rules of the road and the courtesy of riding on the road. And I'll be the first to admit that enough cyclists do not make that distinction in their own minds.
In areas, where, because you said earlier today that, and I didn't know this, I thought that bicyclists could not be on the sidewalks, which has always struck me as stupid, really, because when I was a kid, my mother said, you ride on the sidewalk and you stay out of the street. And I thought, well, that's smart, because it is smart. But you're telling me in Charlotte that is not the law. You can be on the sidewalk as a bicyclist. So on these narrow roads that we sometimes have to navigate with bicyclists, if there is a sidewalk, why don't they use the sidewalk? Why do bicyclists prefer to use the road and be in there mixed in with all these, 6,000-pound weapons? Yes.
I could probably take a stab at answering that question. And I don't know that in this example, and I doubt in this example, that there actually is a sidewalk in place.
Probably not.
And that's part of the challenge that this region is facing. We have grown exponentially. Yet our roads haven't kept up and haven't matured with the types of development that are along them. So in a perfect world, and where we're trying to go is those types of roads, we call them farm-to-market roads.
Right.
And those roads, and we have many, many miles, hundreds of miles of those in Charlotte and throughout the region, those roads need to be upgraded to recognize the suburban and urban or even...
the booty loop. We're about to have the race. And the booty loop is not just used, that route is not just used for that race, it is used all the time by bicyclists. Those roads have sidewalks. Why aren't the bicyclists on the sidewalks? Why are they on the roads?
Okay. Riding on a sidewalk, there's pros, but there's also a lot of cons. In many cases, the bicyclist is safer on the road itself.
Okay.
And especially on a road like the Booty Loop, say Queens Road West, mm-hmm. where the motorist can pass in the other travel lane. Being up on a sidewalk, especially, say, on the Booty Loop, you're going to encounter pedestrians, and so you have a major speed differential. You're also going to encounter people coming out of their driveways.
Wait a minute. There's a major speed differential between bicyclists and automobiles. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is a bicyclist is traveling with the flow of traffic, and the motorist can pass the bicyclist on the Booty Loop, whereas up on the sidewalk, you're dealing with 5 or 6 feet of space, and you're having people walking in both directions and a bicyclist approaching them at a major speed differential. But one of the most common accidents when bicyclists are up on a sidewalk is cars pulling out of driveways. The motorist is looking left because most of them are making a right turn,
uh-huh.
and the bicyclist goes across the front hood of the car. Sidewalks are excellent places for children. Children are traveling at slower speeds. But for people who are traveling at higher speeds on bicycles, especially those people going around the Booty Loop, that's asking for some trouble.
So what are the rules of the road for bicyclists? What should they be doing and not be doing? And what should automobile drivers be doing when they encounter bicyclists, and what should they not be doing when they encounter bicyclists on the road?
Well, as I think I said previously, Mike, the bicyclists basically have the same right to ride on the road, including the right to take a lane when needed. From the standpoint, by the same token, I almost forgot to mention this. By the same token, the rules state that bicyclists should, under normal circumstances, ride within the 3-foot zone between the curb mm-hmm. and traffic. So I neglected to say that. So it tries to cover both circumstances.
When traffic comes to a stop at a stop sign or a red light, should the bicyclist stop where they are in the line of cars, 7th back, 6th back, 4th back, whatever it may be, or do they get to ride to the front of the line?
By the rules of the road, they should be back with the cars.
I never see that happen. Never. Never.
That's a behavioral issue, right. And it needs to be overcome.
We'll move on. let me see here. Brandy in Charlotte, is there anything we as citizens can do to help with the progression of bike plans in the city?
Yes. this fall, the voters in this community are going to have an opportunity to vote on the largest transportation bond that we will have had in this city for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It includes the construction of new roads. It includes sidewalks. It includes some of the infrastructure improvements that will help us expand bike lanes in this community. So that's a big one, is making sure that we get that bond approved.
I have an email here from Don in Charlotte who says, bikers ride Harleys while cyclists ride bicycles. Thanks. That's obviously directed at me. Let's go to Joe in Charlotte. Welcome. You're on WFAE. Put your headphones on so you can hear Joe in Charlotte. You're on WFAE, Joe. Sorry, Joe. I'm sorry. Now you're on. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a cyclist, not a biker.
Yeah, we just covered that.
Yeah. I ride the Booty Loop 2-3 times a week, and I want to be critical of cyclists as well. Part of the Booty Loop is 4 lanes. Part of it's two lanes. On the 4-lane, it's almost become a de facto bike path in and of itself. So I don't see anything wrong necessarily with cyclists being in the far right lane. And by riding in that lane and taking up that lane, it discourages cars from passing you two at a time in both lanes, which is frightening because you almost feel like you're going to be run off the road at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get in front of Queens College and it becomes two lanes. And cyclists will persist in riding 2-3 abreast at that point. It's a two-lane road. Cars are backing up behind these cyclists. I'll tell these guys, I'll say, you can't take up the whole road. And they look at me like I've got three heads or something like that. Cyclists, motorists don't know how to, they don't respect the fact that we're out there, but cyclists need to also realize that they don't, they can't take up an entire lane, that they have to give cars a means, a way of passing them. And to take up an entire lane is just arrogant, and it creates just more ill will with motorists. So I think the motorists have to be aware that cyclists are out there, and they have to respect that we have the right to be out there, but the cyclists just can't be arrogant about it and just have traffic line up behind them while they leisurely, you know, talk and take up an entire lane of
traffic. You know, motorists have to have a license to operate a motor vehicle. Cyclists don't have to have any kind of permit to ride their bicycle, do they?
They do not. And that's always the source.
If we're going to encourage the greater use of bicycles in Charlotte, and we're going to provide roadways and pathways for them, wouldn't it be a good idea to at least mandate some sort of a cycling safety course, so that when these folks get out on the road, they know the rules just as well as the drivers in the cars know the rules?
Definitely. And that this is an area where CABA, my board feels especially, that CABA can really make a significant contribution by complementing the infrastructure approach that CDOT has to take.
Mm-hmm.
We can complement them with educational approaches, educational courses, and we're actually in the process of doing this right now by training people under the League of American Bicyclists auspices.
Judy and Davidson chimes in on this. So my concern is this, she says, after listening to the statement on the rights of bikers, cyclists, do cyclists pay a highway use tax like we do as car riders? I pay a lot of money to drive my car, and yes, I would like to cycle in the future. However, it is just not safe. Drivers are not courteous. I do brake for bicycles, but I don't believe a license to drive is needed for cyclists. Is that correct? That is correct. We just talked about that. But why do they have full use of a lane of traffic if they don't pay the kind of taxes for the right to use that lane that automobile drivers pay?
Well, I would argue that I would imagine that most cyclists are, in fact, own automobiles.
Not Martin over here.
Well, Martin's wife does. but again, it's about providing travel choices. And like I said earlier, we don't expect that someone's going to use a bicycle for every single trip. So we know that there are trips that people are making on a daily basis using their cars. But if they want to, we're trying to provide the option, and we know that not only is it good for bicyclists, but again, it gives people more options to use transit too. And that's a big component that oftentimes people don't quite see the connection between transit and bicycling.
Joe, thank you for your call. Is there a place to go in the absence of licensing and safety courses? Are there safety courses? Is there a place to go for cyclists to learn the rules of the road? Is there a booklet? Is there a website?
Well, of course, there are websites for everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have a special section on the CABA website for safety. You could probably, in a matter of 10 seconds, get into safety booklets, safety teachings, safety on all levels just by clicking a couple words on a website. There's nothing to it.
Dennis writes, I have been a cyclist for 20-plus years and commonly ride two abreast, double file, especially on tight roads. The reason for this, oddly enough, is for safety. When cyclists ride single file, motorists will take many risks, not so much to them, but definitely to me, to squeeze by. However, by occupying the lane, which your guest points out, is our legal right. Motorists are much more cautious in their passing. I know this sounds counterintuitive, but it is fact.
She's absolutely right. It's counterintuitive, and it is fact. And statistics will bear that out time and time again.
Okay.
And I'd like to add a little bit to that. Obviously, this is an issue that we're grappling with in this community. And part of the reason is that we're grappling with this is because we don't have enough bike lanes out there yet. As more roads have bike lanes, we eliminate the issue that is coming up in this conversation time and time again. Mm-hmm. With bike lanes, we provide a place for the bicyclists, we provide a place for the motorists, and we take out that guessing game that the motorist has to play. Can I pass? Can I get by this bicyclist? Mm-hmm. When the bicyclist is in the bicycle lane, it's clear that you have your own travel lane as a motorist to be able to pass that bicycle.
In those streets with bicycle lanes, and the bicycle lane is to the right of the right-hand car lane, if the car in the right lane is at an intersection and wants to turn right, but the bicyclist wants to go straight, who has the right of way?
It'll actually be the bicyclist. The bicyclist is able to come up in the bike lane unimpeded.
Do you think motorists know? I didn't know that. Do you think motorists know that?
Again, this is going to be, as we mature as a community and become more bicycle-oriented as a community, motorists are going to have to.
So the bicyclist has the right of way?
In the bike lane to pass. It's like as if you were in a travel lane, two travel lanes for motorists, and the left lane was backed up, and as a motorist you came up in the right travel lane, you would expect the motorist in the left travel lane not to dart out or make a right in front of you. Same thing with bicyclists.
Dennis writes, I have never minded sharing the road with cyclists as long as we share the rules as well. I can't count how many times I've had a bike fly by me at Queens and Selwyn while a line of cars are stopped at the light. Share the road, share the rules. Spencer writes, and he's the founder of the 24 Hours of Booty, I am laughing thinking about 1,200 plus cyclists on the sidewalks at this summer's 24 Hours of Booty. We're not talking about using it for that. Fortunately, the 75 Charlotte Montgomery Police Department officers we employ should keep things safe on the closed course and let the neighborhood residents and supporters cheer on the cyclists from the sidewalk. I hope you'll come out and see us this summer. Let's go to Asheville. Todd, welcome. You're on WFAE.
Hey, I had a question. Are cyclists supposed to follow the same law as drivers in regards to slower traffic must bear right of way?
Slower traffic must? I didn't quite. Maybe he could rephrase that. I don't quite understand what he's saying.
Todd,
you want to try that again?
Second here.
Try it again. We heard you, but we didn't understand the question.
When you come into the state of North Carolina, there's often a sign about motorcycles wearing helmets and seatbelts, but there's also a line that says slower traffic must bear right of way, and I understand that's a state law.
I haven't heard anything about that. And he said motorcyclists. Are you talking about motorcyclists, Todd, or
no,
bicyclists?
I mentioned motorcyclists because that's one of the other signs you see as you come into the state about helmets. But there's a sign that says slower traffic must bear right of way as you come into the state.
I guess on a highway you're supposed to be on the right-hand lane if you're going to be driving at the speed limit or lower, and the left lane is for passing. I guess that's what he's talking about. I have 1,000 more questions, but we are completely out of time, and I'm sorry about that. Anthony Fox, Dan Gallagher, Martin Zimmerman, thank you all for joining us. The Bicycle Plan is available online right now.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Our senior producer is Wendy Herkey. The associate producer is Tim Ross. Aaron Sutton is our research assistant, and our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks archives, upcoming shows, and podcasts, go to WFAE.org.
And our program is made possible in part today by Bank of Granite, now offering Granite mobile banking for cell phone access to online accounts. Bank of Granite, now with state-of-the-art service, is saddled as our name on the web at bankofgranite.com. And by Boyle's Furniture, the Hickory Metro event, fine furniture, rugs, bedding, and more from over 50 manufacturers, 73,000 square feet at Hickory's Metro Convention Center, June 5th through 8th. Details, boyles.com.
It's hard to believe, but the presidential election is finally over. No more debates, no more attack ads, no more pontificating pundits and polls, no more... Wait a minute, somebody's handing me a note. Oh, I'm Peter Sagal. Okay, everybody back to your places. We're taking it again from the top on this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
It's Saturday and Sunday morning at 11, right after Car Talk, here on 90.7 WFAE.
I'm Mike Collins. It's no secret that as the city of Charlotte has grown, there have been areas that have been left behind. Now there are plans to address that deficiency. An upcoming economic development symposium will focus on 5 business corridors and a plan to bring the private sector together with investors and interested community members to explore development opportunities in those areas. We'll fill you in when Charlotte Talks, Monday at 9 on 90.7. WFAE. Upper 90s today, upper 90s tomorrow. We may tie the record of 98 today. Lower 70s tonight, no rain. 81 degrees right now. Listener funded 90.7 WFAE Charlotte, 90.3 WFHE Hickory, your NPR news source. It's 10 o'clock.